this was not Superman, but this was a Capuchin priest in the Catholic Church. Here is another example, as I talked about, of eternity bringing someone into time who was both in time and in eternity at the same time. Listen to this story that was submitted by one of his spiritual children. He had the habit of sending letters to all of his spiritual children when they asked him to, and one time he sent this nice long letter to one of his spiritual daughters. She was standing outside reading it, and you know how windy it was here on Sunday? Well, it was that windy when she was in San Giovanni Rotondo, and the papers blew out of her hands and started blowing down the road. She started chasing after them, but she couldn't catch them because the wind was so strong, and there were several pieces of paper, and they were going in all directions. Suddenly, the papers gathered themselves, and they stopped on top of a rock. 3 months later, the spiritual daughter, Padre Pio's, went to see him, and these were his words. "You must be more careful with my letters. I had a stump on it, or the wind would have carried it away forever." On another occasion, Padre Pio, this is a very famous story. Many of you who have a devotion to Padre Pio will have already heard this one. But he was in recreation with his brother friars. They were having a celebration one evening, and it was late at night, and it was storming outside, storming so much that he thought that there was no way anybody would have gone outside. All of a sudden, they hear the shouting outside the monastery door. "Viva Padre Pio! Viva Padre Pio! Viva Padre Pio!" One of the monks, one of the friars, jumped up out of his chair and ran outside. This opens the door. There's a storm going on everywhere, and he can't see anybody. He walks back in and he says, "Padre Pio, what's going on?" Padre Pio says, "Don't worry about it. It's only some soldiers coming to thank me because my prayers released them from purgatory." So, Padre Pio knew about the suffering church, the church militant, which is all of us, and the church triumphant that's already with us in heaven. But why did the Lord give us Padre Pio? Why did Padre Pio come when he came? To give us hope, to help us to all understand that the magisterium of the church holds the truth. Here's one thought. Pope Leo XIII, in October of 1884, you may know this famous story, was standing before the tabernacle, and he had a frightening vision. He heard two voices. One was the voice of Satan, and it said, "If you give me 100 years, I will destroy your church." He heard another voice say, "You have my permission to try." At this is at the very moment that Pope Leo XIII wrote the St. Michael prayer, because that vision scared him so much. It was only 3 years later that Padre Pio was born. The Lord gives us the tools to fight the battles that we need to fight. Padre Pio was one. The Divine Mercy is another. As you all may know, the Divine Mercy, we spread this message too, and if you don't have these books, you should have them, because this is the message for our times, along with the life of Padre Pio. So, this passage for me exemplifies the life of St. Padre Pio. It's Colossians 1:24. "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister, in accordance with God's stewardship, given to me to bring completion for you the word of God." Padre Pio was born on May 25th in 1887, and he cried and cried for the first several months of his existence. His father got so, who knows what he was seeing, because by the time he was five, he was having visions of his angels, he was seeing the Blessed Mother, and he was seeing Jesus. Heaven only knows what he was seeing when he was a brand new baby. But he kept crying and crying and crying, and his father got so mad at him that he said, he threw him down on the bed and he said, "The devil incarnate is in our house." Padre Pio stopped crying and he never once cried again. This is the awareness of him even as an infant. He was born Francesco Forgione, and it was his mother who instilled in him a love of the faith. She taught him all about Jesus, all about Mary, and all about the angels. He had three sisters and one brother, and one of his sisters became a Brigantine sister. So she was from the Order of St. Bridget. They were family farmers. They were a little bit above the peasants. They had a small plot of land. His father came to the United States to earn enough money so that Padre Pio could become a priest. They didn't have enough money to support him. He only got 3 years of education before he was sent out into the fields to be a shepherd. How many of our wonderful priests back 100 years or so ago were shepherds? When he was only 15 years old, Padre Pio had a vision of a very tall, majestic man. He said he was as resplendent as the sun. And there was standing next to him another very tall man with the ugliest face he had ever seen. And he had to fight against this ugly man. The man with the resplendent face helped him. He prevailed and he won. He didn't understand his vision, but 2 days later, after he received Holy Communion, he had another vision that explained what he had seen. The beautiful man was, of course, Jesus Christ, and the ugly man was, of course, the devil. Jesus told him that if he became a priest, he would have to fight this ugly man for the rest of his entire life. Do you see that the Lord does not force us to do anything, but he gives us a choice? He even gave Padre Pio a choice, even though since he was a little boy, he knew he wanted to become a priest. By the way, I forgot to tell you that Father will be in the confessional during the time of the talk if anybody wants to get up and go to confession, just so you know, I forgot to say that. When he entered the Capuchins, he said, "Infinite in praise and thanks to you, my God, for you have hidden me from the eyes of everyone." Padre Pio was the most famous friar of the 20th century. On the Feast of the Epiphany in 1903, that's January 6th, he entered the Capuchins, and 1 year later, after 1 year, he made his first profession of vows. No sooner did he profess his vows than the attacks of the devil began. He was in his room one night, and all of a sudden he saw this huge black dog with flames coming out of his eyes and sparks coming out of his mouth. It scared him so much that he passed out on his bed. It was only two years after he entered the Capuchins that he had his first experience of bilocation. Now, bilocation is when most of us know you can be in two different places at one time. He was in the monastery in the choir loft of the church with another brother by the name of Brother Anastasio, who corroborated that he never left the monastery. Suddenly, he found himself transported hundreds of miles north in Italy to a city called Udine. And there he saw a woman who was pregnant and a man who was dying in his bed. The Blessed Mother appeared to him and she said, "I entrust this brand new baby to you. She is a precious stone in a rough state. Work on her, polish her, make her as brilliant as possible, because one day I want to adorn myself with her." But Padre Pio said, "How can this possibly be? I'm still a poor cleric, I'm not even a priest yet. And even if I do become a priest, how am I going to pray to God? How am I going to take care of this little girl? She lives so far away from here." The Blessed Virgin Mary said, "Do not doubt. She will come to you, but first you will meet her at St. Peter's in Rome. And then suddenly, Padre Pio found himself back in the choir loft. Meanwhile, in northern Italy, in Udine, the man is in his bed dying. His wife, whose name is Leonil, is praying by his bedside. He is a marquis, he is also a mason. So he did not believe, he basically masonist, if you will, high on top in the Freemasons, you're Satanist. And he was dying without the sacraments because his mason brothers were standing outside of his house, blocking the priest from getting in. Leonel was praying by his bedside, and she saw this friar appear in her house. She got up to run to try to grab him so he could give her husband the last rites, but he disappeared. At the moment that Padre Pio disappeared, the Marquis' dog downstairs began to howl. Animals know when people are dying, and the Marquis was beginning to die. Leonel got so frustrated with this howling dog that she ran downstairs to untie him and went into premature labor. The head of the house helped her deliver the baby. She runs upstairs, puts the baby in the arms of her dying husband. Meanwhile, the head of the household throws open the windows and starts shouting at the masons, "You can stop this man from getting the last rites, but you have no right to stop this baby from being baptized. She was born premature, and if she dies, it's going to be on you masons." So the masons let the priest pass. The priest came in, he heard the confession of the Marquis, gave him the last rites, and baptized the baby. Needless to say, the young woman grew up and she became Sister Jacoba, who was the first spiritual daughter of Padre Pio's. I don't know if you know the story of St. Francis, but St. Francis had Lady Jacoba as his patroness. This young woman, Sister Jacoba, became a very wonderful patroness for his order, and she was just like Lady Jacoba, was mystically present at the death of Padre Pio. When the friars asked her how could she possibly have been there was no woman that had ever entered Padre Pio's cell. She described in detail not only his cell, but everything that happened to him. Now, can you see how far the Lord Jesus goes to save one soul? He wanted that Marquis saved, so he sent a howling dog and a bilocating priest. Can you see the persevering prayers of a mother and a wife? Leonel was told by Padre Pio that it was her prayers that saved her husband. And it also gave her daughter was given to Padre Pio as a spiritual daughter, and she was and Padre Pio bilocated. Padre Pio was the first priest to be a stigmatist. He carried the stigmata for 50 years, the wounds of Christ. St. Francis had the wounds of Christ, but he only carried them for 2. Padre Pio, 50. When he would have scars that were on his hands, and when the scars occasionally would fall off during Mass, people at the Mass would say that they could see light shining through his hands. But the scars disappeared when he died, and they were no longer there. He died in 1968. He was beatified by Pope St. John Paul in 1999, and he was canonized in the year 2002. As I said at the Masses, and here's what you've all been waiting for, Padre Pio was very fond of Americans. He told one of the soldiers by the name of Joe Peluso, who was an American soldier in Italy. He was from Pennsylvania, and his mother wrote him a note saying, "You need to go look up Padre Pio. He's a great saint. Maybe he'll help you." Joe went to the chaplain who was in his platoon, and he said, "Have you heard anything about this guy Padre Pio?" The chaplain turned around and said, "It was right there on that hill." Joe must have been meant to meet Padre Pio, and so he went and met Padre Pio. He spent several times several days with him. He got to eat lunch with Padre Pio, and Padre Pio said to him, "Joe, when the war is over and you return to the United States, tell the American people that for those who would like for me to be their spiritual father, my answer is yes. I accept all Americans as my spiritual children. I only have two requirements. One, that they lead very good Catholic lives and that they regularly receive the sacraments. And two, please tell them never to embarrass me in front of Jesus and Mary. You must tell them so." Here's how he directed his spiritual children. He said, first, they are to keep the commandments of the church, all of them, not just a few, all of them. Two, and we'll go into this a little bit more deeply, prayer. The two basic prayers being the Holy Rosary and the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Padre Pio said that today society does not pray, and that is why it is falling apart. He said one of his favorite prayers for all of us is, "My past, O Lord, to your mercy, my present to your love, and my future to your providence." His third and final step was to spend 30 minutes in front of the Blessed Sacrament every day, meditating upon the truths of our faith. So if you would like to be a spiritual son or daughter of Padre Pio, there is the formula. Now, I just heard a statistic that if a mother teaches her children the faith, the tenets of the faith, 30% of all children will stay with their faith. But if the father, as the head of the household, teaches the faith to his children, 93% of children will remain in the faith. Fathers, grandfathers, how are we doing? There was a couple that we just met in Natchez, and if you think your children and grandchildren aren't paying attention, you're dreaming. There was a family that we were visiting with, this couple, and they were telling us the story of their young grandparents with their grandparents. And the wife was being Martha. She was being very busy and taking care of these grandchildren while her children were away. Meanwhile, the dad was walking the halls saying his rosary. And a little boy came up to the grandmother and said, "Grandma, Grandpa's way ahead of you in prayers. You better get on it." So if you think your kids and your grandchildren aren't paying attention, you're kidding. And also, say the rosary, grandparents, with your children. We were, Sister Mary and Francis and I were in Alaska, and we were at the summer camp. It was St. Teresa's camp, and we took some of the kids into the church, and we were telling them all about Our Lady of Fatima. And this one little boy said, "My parents don't take me to church, and I love to go spend the summers with my grandparents, because my grandma will take me to church, and she teaches me to pray the rosary every single day. Do you think if I praise the rosary hard enough and long enough, that the Blessed Mother will appear to me like she did to the children of Fatima?" Listen to the faith of a 10-year-old child. Don't be afraid to show your faith to these kids. They long for it. Now, let's take a look at some of the other ways that Padre Pio was a wonderful example to us and some of the things that we need to do too. Number one is Eucharistic devotion. "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him," St. John taught us. Any account of Padre Pio has got to start with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. He once said that his absorption in God was so great during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and especially at the consecration, that he saw every single person who asked for his prayers at the consecration. There was a story about a young man in Italy. His name was Bruno, and he was an atheist. He was marrying a beautiful young Catholic woman, and he thought Padre Pio was a charlatan. didn't believe a word about it. So his fiancee, who he was engaged to, says, well, why don't we go find out? Let's go down and meet Padre Pio. So they go down to San Giovanni Rotondo, and he agrees to attend one of Padre Pio's masses. He goes into the mass, and at the time of the consecration, Padre Pio's face becomes covered with blood, and he sees, this young man Bruno sees, a three-tiered crown of thorns on Padre Pio's head. He turns pale, and he looks away, but he doesn't tell his fiancée. He leaves the church and doesn't say a word. And he brought some of his other friends who were also atheists, and he was too embarrassed to say anything. But he got really quiet. He agrees the next day to go to the Mass of Padre Pio. Same thing. At the consecration, Padre Pio's face is covered with blood, and he has a three-tiered crown of thorns on his head. Now he's getting really scared. But he doesn't say anything to his fiancée. Third day, he goes to the Mass of Padre Pio. At the consecration, now Padre Pio's face turns into the face of Jesus Christ himself, bleeding with a triple crown of thorns on his head. Bruno finally breaks down in tears. He sobs, and his fiancée turns to him and says, what's the matter with you? He says, he told her everything he saw, and she says, get into the confessional of Padre Pio. He goes to confession with Padre Pio, and Padre Pio says, you have no idea how much I suffered to release you from the chains of Satan. Now, this is the power of Padre Pio's masses. This is the power of the Eucharist. One of his spiritual daughters asked him how he could possibly stand on his swollen feet because his feet were pierced, you know. And he said, I cannot get tired because when I celebrate Holy Mass, I am not standing, but I am hanging on the cross together with Jesus. And I suffer inadequately all that Jesus suffered on the cross, as much as possible for each and every human soul. It is how each and every one of us bears our crosses that matters to Jesus. Are we bearing our crosses with dignity, with recollection and solitude? And do we know the value of our crosses to save a soul? Each of us has a cross to bear. And always we should have confidence in God and believe that every single good deed we do, Jesus Christ sees. Our Lord God, our Father, sees what you're doing, and he's happy that you're doing it for him. Regarding the Mass, St. Gertrude the Great once reported that for each and every Mass that we hear with devotion, so that we are recollected, we're listening, we're praying, during our lives, Jesus sends a saint to comfort us in our death. Now, how consoling is that? We should all be going to Mass every day. And just to drive home the point of the fact that Jesus is here with us, in 1995, when Pope St. John Paul came to the United States and he was in Baltimore, he went to the seminary, the Baltimore Seminary, and he spent the entire day visiting with people and working and out and about. And he had a great devotion to the Eucharist, so he said to the fellow priests that were there at the seminary, I want to go pray in the chapel. Well, he was traveling with American Secret Service men, and they had not cleared the seminary. They hadn't checked. So they sent their dogs in, and these were the dogs not sniffing out bombs, but sniffing out people who might have been hiding inside the seminary. So they went from room to room to room sniffing to see if there was anyone in hiding who might have tried to shoot Padre Pio. They get to the chapel, and they start whining. They sit down, and they're whining, and they won't leave the chapel. They're sitting in front of the tabernacle, like right down here. The dog handlers came into the chapel. They ran all around. They searched it. They couldn't find anything. How is it that the dogs knew that Jesus was in the tabernacle, but the people did not? Jesus is truly present with us. The second thing about Padre Pio, and this is the one that we're talking about with regard to our lady, is his devotion. to the Blessed Virgin Mary. When he was only 23 years old, Padre Pio said, "The month of May is a month of grace for me. Poor dear Mary, how she loves me. What great care she took to accompany me to the altar this morning." He could see her and she walked him to the altar. It seemed to me that she had nothing else to think about except for me. And she filled my whole heart with sentiments of holy love. When asked if the Blessed Virgin Mary is at every single Mass that we celebrate in the world, Padre Pio responded, "How can the Mother of Jesus, present on Calvary, who offered her Son as a victim for the salvation of souls, be absent at the mystical Calvary of the altar? The Blessed Virgin Mary is here with us at every single Mass." Padre Pio was consoling one of his spiritual children, and he was trying to explain suffering, because suffering is hard for us, right? He pointed out that our Blessed Virgin Mary and St. John stood beneath the cross on Calvary when total darkness descended for 3 whole hours. A darkness that was so great and so intense, you could not even see your own hand. And yet they stood there. Mary remained standing for love of her Son. According to the Fathers of the Church, Mary's standing beneath the cross in perfect virtue, perfect sacrifice, was the most glorious moment in all of human history, because she achieved what the fallen angels could not achieve. She sacrificed the one thing that she loved the most in the world, because God asked her to. Can each and every one of us, if we are asked by God, sacrifice the thing that we love the most in the world? Some of us always have to be first. Can we sacrifice that? Some of us always have to be in the limelight. Can we take a back seat every once in a while? Some of us have to sacrifice the fact that our loved one has been taken from us, and we don't know why God did that. But we have got to trust that the Lord Jesus knows better than we do. We have to sacrifice sometimes our children or our grandchildren. They're not always going to be first. They're not always going to be the best. We have to sacrifice our victimhood. When are we going to stand up and say, "My life is my own, my choices are my own, I have got to stop blaming my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, the church"? We can't. We have got to take ownership of our own lives, and we have to live it for God. Mary always did the right thing, moment by moment. From the moment she gave her fiat, she was perfected in virtue and grace, and every single act she did for her entire life increased her merit in heaven and increased her status and raised her another level in heaven. How many of us, with each action that we do, is raising our merit in heaven? We need to be looking at how we're doing that. No wonder she stands above the angels. She's the queen of the angels. Do we always give our fiat? Or do we say, "I can't do that, it's too hard. The Lord's not, can't possibly be asking me to do that"? Or how about, "Mañana, can I do it tomorrow?" Or how about, "I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to make it work"? We need to listen to God and do it God's way. Mary never whined, she never complained, she never descended into depression. She never blamed others for her sufferings. And Padre Pio knew that all graces went through the hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There was a story, another story, now of course Padre Pio lived during both wars, and so this is another World War II story. There was a family that was in Petrolchina, or in San Giovanni Rotondo, I mean, and their son was taken as a prisoner of war, and they hadn't heard anything from him for an entire year. The mother went to Padre Pio at one point into the confessional, and she said, "Padre Pio, I need to know if my son is okay. I'm not leaving the confessional until you tell me." Padre Pio looked at her with tears in his eyes, and he said, "Go in peace. Stand up and go in peace." But still they heard nothing. So this boy's aunt, who was one of the spiritual daughters of Padre Pio, said she decided to go ask him for a miracle. So she went to Padre Pio and she said, "Padre Pio, I am going to write a letter to Giovannino, and I'm only going to put his name on the outside of the envelope. And I believe in you, and I know that you and your guardian angel can deliver this letter to this boy." So she writes the letter, she puts it on her bedstand, and goes to sleep. Next morning, the letter is not there. She runs to Padre Pio and she says, "Padre Pio, thank you so much for having this letter delivered." He said, "Don't thank me. Thank the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the one who made sure the letter got delivered." And 15 days later, they received a letter back from the boy, and he was okay. Padre Pio said, "Some people are so foolish to think that they can go through life without the Blessed Mother. Love the Madonna and pray the Rosary. All graces given by God go through the hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary." Padre Pio spent his entire night saying the Rosary. Do you know how many rosaries Padre Pio would say every single day? 35 rosaries a day. How many of us are struggling to say one? He used to always have a rosary wrapped around his hand, and in between his time in the confessional or when he was visiting people, he would say another Hail Mary on his beads. I don't know how to keep track, but I'm pretty sure it's his guardian angel that keep track of him, because how do you keep track of saying that many rosaries every day? This is my favorite rosary. It's kind of heavy, and it's a beautiful one that reminds me of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He named the rosary the weapon for our times, which we have all heard over and over again. And he said it has the depths of the entire gospel message within it. He said prayer shakes the heart of God, and it obtains all our necessary graces. So we should be praying more now. And the last words on his lips were Jesus and Mary. That is the devotion he had. Number three, confession. Something that we all need to stay close to, especially in these times. "I tell you," said St. Luke, "there is more joy in heaven and more joy before the angels of God in heaven over one sinner who repents than 1,000 in no need of repentance." This story I love to tell because it gives a perfect example of confession. There was a man in 1928 who became a Catholic out of social convenience because his wife was a Catholic. But he was raised in a very anti-Catholic family, and he had deep prejudices against all the dogmas of the Catholic Church, particularly against confession. So he went through his RCIA classes, and he became a Catholic, even though he did not believe what he was hearing. After he became a Catholic, he quickly got into what was popular in the 1920s, which is called theosophy. It was seances, psychics, the first version of the Ouija board. He got into the occult. He believed in this thing called ascended masters, like you could attain some magical knowledge of the world and that you were going to be one of the people that knew about what's going to happen in the world and all of this stuff. And so he was anxiously awaiting for some new reality to come along. But every once in a while, even with all of this that he was believing, he would go to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And he would go to confession, but he wouldn't confess what he was doing. At one point, He heard that there was a living crucifix in Italy that was performing all kinds of miracles. So he got curious and he decided to go see what this was all about. So he goes to San Giovanni Rotondo and he goes to confession to Padre Pio. And this is what he said in the confessional to Padre Pio. I consider confession to be a good social and educational institution, but I do not believe in the divinity of the sacrament at all. Padre Pio looked at him and said to him, heresy, absolute heresy. Then all of your communions have been sacrilegious. You must make a general confession. Examine your conscience and remember when the last time you made a good confession. Jesus has been more merciful to you than to Judas. He looked over his head and he said, praise be Jesus and Mary, got up from the confessional, walked across the church to hear the confessions of the women. Needless to say, the guy's head was spinning. He had no idea when the last time he made a good confession was. So he decided, out of convenience to himself, that he was going to say, well, since I don't remember, I'll just make a confession since my childhood. Padre Pio hears all the confessions, he comes back across, and he says to him, so when was the last time you made a good confession? He started to say, well, Padre Pio interrupted him and said, the last time you made a good confession was when you were coming back from your honeymoon. Let's leave everything else aside and begin from there. Suddenly, the man realized that he is now in touch with the real supernatural, because Padre Pio proceeded to tell him all his mortal and venial sins with precision and clarity, every last one. If you think your sins are not known in heaven, you are dreaming. There is nothing that happens in the dark. After Padre Pio brought all his sins to light, he said, you have summoned him to Satan, while Jesus in his ardent love has broken his neck for you. Then he gave him his penance, and he left the confession. These are the words of this man. He said, I believe not only in the dogmas of the Catholic Church, but also in the very least of its ceremonies. To take away my faith, you would have to take away my life as well. This is the power of Padre Pio. Once his reputation in the confessional spread, it would take 10 days to get in to see Padre Pio. He was in the confessional for between 15 and 19 hours every day. The Capuchins in the 1950s had to have a ticketing system to get in to see him. Now, if you have trouble with the confessional, as many of us do, ask for the intercession of Padre Pio. Ask him to help you see your sins, to clarify in your mind what's going on, and then get it off your chest. Because just like I told you before, with the Moses story, it renews you and makes you feel whole again. It brings you grace. The purpose of all the sacraments is to confer on us the grace. And you'll see your life change in very, very dramatic ways. The fourth thing that we all need to have to be a spiritual child of Padre Pio is humility. Matthew, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for the many. Padre Pio said there are two fundamental virtues of holiness. One is humility, and the other one is charity. Humility is the foundation, and charity is the roof. In the book St. Thomas Aquinas wrote in The Imitation of Christ, these are Jesus' words. I became of all men the most humble and the most abject, so that I might overcome your pride with my humility. You know, we were out west doing some missionary work in Idaho and Wyoming, and we were in Wyoming, and there was this a friend of ours brought another woman to Mass, and she was having a Mass set for this man, who had very extremely wealthy. They had built this big bank. He had spent his entire life building a bank. And it got to be so big that it was all over the Western United States. And then suddenly, sometime within the last year, 10 years, well, it was probably the last 4 years, this bank collapsed. And the man was so depressed because he had put his whole entire life into this bank. And it collapsed, and now he had lost his identity. We have got to remember that we are children of God. We are not children of this world. Maybe the Lord took that bank away from him so that he could begin to focus on what really matters in life. What really matters in life is that we're not storing our treasure in a bank, but that we're storing our treasures in heaven. We can do works of mercy now while we're here still on earth, and we build up our grace and our glory by doing those things for other people, and we are in the time of Advent, a great season of giving. So we should all be focusing on the ways that we can give of ourselves to other people, because each and every one of you has been given a special gift from God that only you have, that you can give for other people. Maybe it's just for your children or grandchildren, but maybe it's a broader gift to the world. Think about it. Come to the Blessed Sacrament and ask the Lord to show you. There's another, and you married couples, you are an example just by your marriage. There was another couple who had gone through some of the most extreme suffering that we have ever heard of, and they turned to their faith and not away from their faith. And they would hold hands, and they're in their 80s, and she would still call her husband my boyfriend. She says, "Oh, my boyfriend makes the best pasta and meat sauce you've ever had. He's such a wonderful man." They hold hands when they're in church. They take up the collection. They are a wonderful, fabulous example of, and they are extremely healthy too. But he looks at his wife and he says, "We have enough. Let's get some of it away." They have their priorities right. To a spiritual son, Padre Pio wrote, "Self-love, self-esteem, the false freedom of spirit, which we suffer from a lot in this country, are roots which cannot easily be removed from the heart. If you do good, praise God, not yourself. If you should fall into evil, humble yourself and blush with shame before God, but do not be discouraged." Don't be discouraged. But what if I sin grievously? What if I've killed somebody? What if I've had an abortion? What if I've destroyed somebody's reputation? What if I disdained somebody? What if I've stolen something? Isn't that a cause for me to despair? No, it's a cause to repent. That's why we have the confessional. It's cause for tears and a firm purpose of resolution, but do not lose your peace. It's the whole reason for the sacrament. God does not cease being good because we do something wrong, and he always comes to look for us. Now, each one of us has a path to our own holiness, and it's different for each and every one of us. If we stay close to the sacraments and we carry our crosses with dignity, you will see your holiness increase. God wants to do just as astounding things with each and every one of us in our own special way as he did with Padre Pio. And Padre Pio withstood countless attacks from inside and outside of the church. He was investigated within the church for 10 years and was banned from saying the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass for 3. He was accused of being a womanizer. He was accused of pouring acid on his hands to make the stigmata appear. Through it all, he remained faithful. And did he blame the church? Did he leave the church? Even though he was attacked by his own, never once. He was a holy, humble, obedient servant of the church. And we all need to do the same. We cannot be blaming the church for everything that is going wrong. What did Jesus say? The gates of hell will not prevail against one place. His church. This is the safest place on the planet to be. Inside the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I'm almost done now. Charity is the next, and love for your spiritual children. There's this great story about Padre Pio. He had a childhood friend by the name of Nicola. Nicola and he lived in Pietrelcina together, and when Nicola was older, he got a toothache. Padre Pio is all the way in San Giovanni Rotondo by now, and he is suffering, Nicola's suffering with the toothache, and so his wife takes him upstairs to bed. And there's a picture of Padre Pio on the wall, and she says to Nicola, Nicola, why don't you say a prayer to Padre Pio? You never know, he might heal you. Nicola picked up his shoe, and he threw it at the picture of Padre Pio. 1 year later, he went down to San Giovanni Rotondo to see Padre Pio. He went to confession to Padre Pio, and after his confession, Padre Pio says, Nicola, you got anything else to tell me? Nicola says, no. He said, when you threw the shoe at my picture, do you think it would hit me all the way from Pietrelcina? So here's a man that could stand inside and outside of time. His conscience was so pure and so clean that he was detached from everything. He's telling us that Christ needs to be the center of our life. Even before our husbands, even before our wives, and even before our children and grandchildren. If you put Jesus Christ at the center of your life, everything else will fall into place. And we need to be especially detached from sin. There is one sin that is plaguing us, and it is anger and it is wrath. People hold on to their grudges. We were at the Shrine of Divine Mercy just about a year ago, and there was a family, there was a husband and wife there praying. We were praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and the wife came up to us and said, would you please pray for my family? My son and my two sons and their friend were out, and it was Halloween, and they pumpkined another man's house. This man was a daily mass goer. He saw the boys pumpkining his house. The boys backed out, tried to run away. He chased them down with his truck, rammed their car, pulled them out of the car, called the police, pressed charges to the full extension of the law. Now, don't you think the punishment should fit the crime? The oldest of the three boys, and one of the three boys was his godson. The oldest one was of age and had to go spend time in jail for delinquency and came out with a record. Now, do you think wrath begets wrath? That oldest boy has not been back to church. He refuses to talk to his parents. He's dropped out of school. And he's working because all he wants to do is earn enough money to live his life the way he wants. We have got to get rid of anger and wrath, and we have to have forgiveness. Because what is the highest form of charity? What is mercy? It is forgiving the unforgivable. And we have to look in our own lives, and we have to forgive those we cannot forgive. Have not been able to forgive. The next way, and this is a fun way, is devotion to your guardian angel. How many of us say the guardian angel prayer every day? Good. All right. Padre Pio had a deep devotion to his guardian angel. In fact, he sent his guardian angel on errands. He said, he encouraged one of his spiritual children to develop a strong friendship with his guardian angel, and he said, know that this good angel prays for you, offers to God all the good works you accomplish, your holy and pure desires. There was a story of Padre Pio. There's Padre Alberto, who was one of his friars, had a stack of letters to bring to Padre Pio. He went to Padre Pio with a stack of letters and he said, "Padre Pio, I have all these letters to give you." And Padre Pio just ignored him. So he stood there for a little while longer and he got frustrated. He said, "Padre Pio, I have a stack of letters to give you. Could you please take them?" Padre Pio turned to him and he said, "Can't you see that my spiritual children have sent all their guardian angels here to me with a prayer request, and I have to answer every single one of them?" Padre Pio could understand every language of the confessional because his guardian angel interpreted for him. So now, we each need to develop our relationship with our guardian angel. And finally, the final thing is, you cannot talk about Padre Pio without talking about the stigmata. We are not all called to carry the stigmata. That is a special gift. But as I have said more than once, we are called to carry our own crosses. Padre Pio had the wounds in his hands and his feet, his side. He carried the crown of thorns on his head. And what was his most painful wound? The same as Jesus Christ, the wound on his shoulder. Because when Jesus carried the cross, he had been beaten so badly that his bone was exposed, and he had to walk all the way up to Calvary with that cross on that wounded shoulder. Now, Padre Pio carried all of those wounds himself. He was an obedient and devoted son to Holy Mother Church. And he's asking us to do the same thing. He said, "The human soul is a battlefield between God and Satan. Do not let the infernal beast frighten you. God will fight it with you and for you. Trust in God. Do not fear. Jesus is more powerful than all hell. At the invocation, all knees in heaven and on earth and in hell will bend. This is a consolation for the weak and terror for evil." He told his spiritual children that he would be standing at the gates of heaven until his last spiritual child entered. He told us to pray, to hope, and not to worry.